This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. McIntyre, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. We're going to Brussels, a twin capital. The EU, troubled by the third winter of war and inflation and doubts, and the NATO capital as well, troubled by inadequate resources flowing through to Kyiv. What is to be done? At the same time, there are now very large demonstrations in the capital cities of the four powers. As Mr. Sunak's London, Mr. Macron's Paris, Mr. Schulz's Berlin, and Ms. Meloni's Rome. The demonstrations are, in general, those who are from sympathetic backgrounds to Hamas. That would be not only Muslims, but radicals who aren't particularly religious at all, or jihadists who aren't particularly nationalist at all. Demonstrations that seem to start at 100,000, taking over the central part of the capitals and making headlines. Professor Brussels, point of view. NATO, EU, and the demos in the capitals. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, one of the themes we keep coming back to is that NATO or the European community, which are overlapping but not the same, they have never really gelled. They've never articulated an internal structure or a shared culture or set of values. They're still very much nation states who are quite willing to maximize their own interests, even if it means jeopardizing the interests of the community to which they belong. And we've seen this in their inability, really, to get their policies and their actions together in the case of Ukraine. Although they've done a fair amount, but the fact that they're falling short in supplies is not surprising at all. But the fact that they are unable to acknowledge or to undergrasp where did these hundreds of thousands of pro-Islamic demonstrators in their capital cities, where did they come from? This is an indication of how much they lack awareness of the situation that they're in, the threats that they face, and the total impoverishment of their political imagination to try to build a better system. These demonstrators, I was watching one of the demonstrations, this one in Paris, and of course, it's supposed to be illegal to demonstrate for Palestinians in Paris. So there are thousands and thousands of these people fighting with the police. The police are totally outnumbered. And I'm listening to the tape, and all of the demonstrators speaking absolutely perfect French. I mean, these are people who are born and raised in France, but they are not. There's no system of French values to which they can truly subscribe, let alone what we really need now, which is a sense of Western or European or even universal values. So that would be the first point, I think, that Europe, we see the disarray of Europe, this arrested development after World War II, where they developed economically, but they never became the kinds of players they'd been in the world before the war. They declined to play that game. They said, let America take care of world order, and we'll just, at most, we'll have a few nuclear weapons, and we'll have a small army. But they never took security as an irreducible national responsibility. They assumed somebody else was going to take care of it, which has turned out to be wrong. The other point I'd make, you're talking about the alternative for Deutschland, the emergence of these seemingly feral. They sort of seem like throwbacks to a kind of politics we thought had been outgrown. Why is it? You think of Germany. How did the Nazis come to power? Well, it's a long story. But one thing I think we can say is that the inability of Weimar to create a state that commanded the full loyalties of all the German people, despite very strong efforts, there was enough dissatisfaction that the Nazis were able to prosper. Although, of course, the Nazis never won an election. Hindenburg put Hitler in. That is what happened. And Hitler never won a majority at the polls. However, he could never have existed had the Weimar Republic been able to prosper. And the great problem overshadowing the Weimar Republic was the insistence of the French that the Treaty of Versailles could not be modified, and the Germans were going to pay for everything. And it created an impossible situation, because Germany was always, if she fully developed, always going to be stronger than France. And furthermore, the economics of paying reparations, it destroys the economy that's receiving the reparations, just as the gold from South America did much to undermine the Spanish economy. So I think that what we're seeing are both superficial manifestations of these demonstrations, but they all point at a deeper failure of the European political system and the European political imagination. And I just don't know where this is going to go. I hope for the best, but having lived in Europe and so forth, one must not underestimate how irresponsible they will be, just as one cannot underestimate how irresponsible our own United States will be. So I'm rather pessimistic about this.
I would say that there's a fair observation that several of the members of NATO no longer look to the United States for leadership. They look to it for money. They look to it for military equipment, but not for leadership. I'm thinking in particular right now of the troubles in the European capitals because of the inflation, because inflation is very hard on the least among them. And they all have parliamentary systems that they must be sensitive to. So you mentioned Alternative for Deutschland. Schulz's coalition is not solid. And the ability of the German state governments, that was a Bavaria election and a Hesse election where Alternative for Deutschland did very well. Those elections are coming again next year. So Germany, which is vital not only to Ukraine conflict, but also to the trouble in the Middle East, is no longer something you could say, well, it's going to always be with us, Professor. Germany is right now evidencing early indications of becoming wobbly.
I think you're absolutely right. It's many ways it's the defects of German unification that are presenting themselves again. I mean, Bavaria did not join did not join with Prussia until she was forced to by the Franco-Prussian War, because she concluded a defensive alliance with Germany, with Prussia, but not an offensive alliance. So Bismarck had to figure out how to get France to invade Germany, which would then shepherd Bavaria in. And these are fundamental issues, and I think we can see that there are structural issues in the United States. The United States, we're dealing with inflation better than any of the European countries. We have the Federal Reserve. They're raising interest rates in a way that most European countries would be horrified to do. But as long as European interest rates are below American, capital is going to flow to America. Your observation about our credibility, as it were, whether they look to us for answers. The last thing that Europeans want to do is to look outside of their own countries for answers, and they particularly dislike getting answers from the United States. And when they've gotten answers, it's usually been because we were more powerful, not because we were more persuasive. I mean, the British talk about being Greeks to the Americans, Romans. They aren't aware of the full history of Greece on this, but this is their conceit. And the French certainly, they're very worried about the French are now rated, their cuisine is rated number 9 in the world by some tourist organization, and they're going into conniptions. They're going to have a law now that requires that food in French restaurants be actually cooked in the restaurant. If not, it has to show it on the menu. This shows a very, very deep cultural insecurity. Germany has always been a problematical country for reasons that German historians and other historians have long explored. So I'm not at all surprised at this situation. However, there's only one country that can fix it, and that's the United States. And to say that we're not showing any leadership is a pathetic understatement on my part. This is the time when there is a great hungry void calling for it. I mean, nature abhors a vacuum, and in the vacuum of world politics, it should be American leadership that prevents disaster. It leads the way. We're not remote closer, but the president is getting little briefing papers that have got pictures of color pictures, you know, to an inch on either side or more of the reporters that he's going to see and with the answers. I mean, this is not leadership. It's pathetic.
Let's go to Beijing, Professor, before you get upset about D.C. We're going to Beijing. The Professor H.J.
McIntyre.
Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.